Good morning to all of you. I'll be discussing an analysis of a school-based influenza vaccination pilot program that was implemented in Los Angeles County during the fall of 2007 through the early winter of 2008. We were motivated to initiate this project for basically three reasons. The first reason was ACIP's expressed interest in recommending flu vaccination or flu immunization for all school-aged children. At the time we started the project, it was actually in the spring of 2007, ACIP had indicated that they were going to be moving to making the recommendation. The second reason being that we began to appreciate the role of healthy school children in propagating community flu outbreaks and the relevance of this in terms of pandemic planning. And then the third reason was the first time availability of a refrigerator stable live attenuated influenza vaccine. Because our community public health nurses did not have the capacity to shift resources to the schools at such short notice, we purposely selected school districts that already had an infrastructure for delivering the routinely recommended childhood immunizations at the school site. We felt that this aspect of our pilot would promote self-sustainability in the future in the event that no external resources became available to the schools. And we also felt that doing it this way would allow us to evaluate the processes already in place in each school district. Our community public health nurses did play a role in helping actually spread the information that we were looking for schools and helping us select the schools to initiate the pilot process of the pilot project in. The key outcomes that we focused upon were as follows. We were interested in determining the program's success as defined by the percentage of a district's total population among its participating schools that actually got immunized or vaccinated with the FluMist vaccine. We wanted to determine parent acceptance as defined by the parent's willingness or planning to have their child vaccinated with FluMist prior to the actual vaccinating event. And we wanted to look at each of these two things, program success, parent acceptance, broken down by each of the different methods that the school districts used to implement the project. The timeline for the project is shown in this slide, and the nit and gritty of it is basically that we had anticipated implementing, actually having the vaccine in the hands of the school districts by the second week of September. Because of the delay in FDA approval of FluMist vaccine, the refrigerator stable version, and the age lowering, we actually were not able to receive the vaccine until the end of September. And we therefore were not able to actually get vaccines in the hands of the school districts until October. Briefly, the data collection tools that we used consisted of, number one, a confidential parent or guardian questionnaire, which collected information on the parental acceptance of immunizations in general, parental acceptance of flu vaccinations, and specifically parental knowledge about the FluMist vaccine. Now, this questionnaire was actually part of a parent packet that consisted of a letter from the school about the activity, consisted of a fact sheet about the vaccine information statement, and a combined screening and consenting form. Another important data collection tool that we had was a school district questionnaire, and this is something that was completed at the end of the project at each school by that school district's coordinator. And this questionnaire collected information on each school's enrollment and attendance by month, collected information on campaign implementation methods. We had specific questions about that. Collected information on the child's acceptance of the FluMist vaccine during its administration. I'll say a little bit more about that, and some of the challenges that the districts felt that they faced with this project. And then the third data collection tool was the FluMist accountability form that collected information on doses of FluMist by date, location of the activity, age group of the child, race, and ethnicity. And this form was completed by the nurses at the end of every flu miss clinic or activity. Five school districts were selected, and these districts varied in terms of the percentage of their schools that were targeted for the pilot vaccination project, meaning that in some of the districts, they set it as a goal to offer a vaccine at all of their schools. Some districts, only the elementary schools. Some districts, only maybe four or five of the schools based upon their resources. Among all of the districts, there were a total of 49 schools with a total enrollment of 32,915 students. Most of the schools, that is 33 schools, were elementary schools, but 11 were middle schools and 5 were high schools. And 3,650 doses of FluMist were administered during this pilot project. And I forgot to mention parental questionnaires. More than a third of those who actually were vaccinated returned the parent guardian questionnaire that I talked about earlier. We defined four different methods of campaign promotion and distribution of materials, CPDM. The first one was kind of a routine, kind of a basic situation where a letter was sent home by the student to the parent. School flyers were also available at the school site and also in the packet that went home. Parent packets, including the questionnaire that I've already talked about, the other forms, were also delivered home by the student. In the second method, you had the letter sent home with the student, you had school flyers, but the second method involved use of the internet, a website that the school already had up and running where information could be placed about this unique project. And in the second method here, the packets were sent home and some of the packets were mailed to some of the parents as well. Third method, letter sent home by student, school flyers available, websites, and an ongoing parent newsletter that also was utilized to spread information about this activity. And with this method, parents came into the school and picked up the packets. And then the fourth, as you see there, letter sent home, school flyers, parent picked up the packet. This slide shows the participation level for each of the methods. And it's kind of a mixed bag, and we don't really have time to go into each of the areas, but I just want to focus you upon parental questionnaires completed. That appeared to first strategy, letter home with student, school flyer, parent packet home with student, correlated with the highest number of parent questionnaires that were actually returned. Parents' acceptance of FluMist as determined by the response on the questionnaire appeared to correlate with the campaign promotional distribution method 3, which was letter home with student, school flyer, use of the internet, parent packets picked up by the parents. And of course you might say that, well, the parent had to come into the school, they got the information through the various media sources, they had to come into the school, maybe these are more motivated parents. But certainly this correlated with parents expressing a larger percentage of parents expressing the desire to have the child immunized. However, overall, as you see here, there was no statistical significantly different acceptance, so that it was really accepted overall at all of the school districts. Okay, now we turn to vaccine administration methods, and this term just applies to the strategy that was used in each of the districts for getting the vaccine to the school and getting the vaccine into the arms, or rather into the noses of the students. All of the logistical processes involved in that. We categorized the vaccine administration method as three different models. The first model being a small number of school nurses that traveled to each of the schools in their district that they had chosen to offer the vaccine. The model two was school nurses that would supplement mobile clinics. In this particular model, the school partnered with a nonprofit mobile clinic routinely, and the clinic had days in which it was at every school. It would normally come to the school for the last couple hours of the school and overlap the time when the school was in session and parents were coming to pick up the kids. And school nurses would actually be at that location where the clinic was to supplement. And then the third, this school district that used the third model, and it was only one school district that did this, organized some rather large clinics, centralized clinics, and invited kids from neighboring schools to attend, and also utilized traveling school nurses. If we look at the participation in the program by the vaccine administration method, I think we're really interested, in the interest of time, we're going to talk about the method that was correlated with the highest percentage, with the highest percent of allocated doses that were administered, and the method that was correlated with the highest coverage levels achieved in the targeted schools. Here we see vaccine administration method one, and then you come down to number of flu missed doses allocated. That certainly was correlated with the highest number of allocated doses that were administered. And you need to know the doses were allocated on the basis of a school district's estimate of its healthy student population at its targeted schools. And we put in a fudge factor decreasing that amount by anywhere from 50 to 60% based upon our assessment of the capability of the schools, and also based upon data that others had found during first time implementation of these projects, that you're doing good if you can penetrate 40 to 50% of the kids if you get that kind of coverage level. We left it open, however, and told the schools, if you need more vaccine, come and get your vaccine, get additional vaccine from us. None of the schools requested any additional vaccine beyond what they were allocated. When we look at the success as determined by the percentage of students at the targeted schools who were vaccinated, clearly, and this does approach statistical significance here, the second model, that's the model where a mobile van was scheduled to be at each of the schools, and during that activity, the school nurses supplemented, and that correlated with the highest coverage levels. You see there, 58.1%. And I'll move on a little bit quicker here. Looking at student absentee levels for the middle and elementary schools, in assessing absentee level, you need to be aware that in LA County, flu peaks later maybe than in other places. And in the 07-08 season, it peaked during the week ending February the 23rd. And the last positive test for influenza in LA County during that flu season was in April. And someone has already mentioned the mismatch of the strain, so that we would expect the efficacy of the vaccine to be more like around the 40% area. Some studies have documented this, as opposed to the 79% efficacy that we normally tell our patients. Still, considering all of this, you can see here that when we look at non-participating schools, we have the data on non-participating schools and compared what we actually looked at, because the absentee, and you also need to know that the absentee rate is defined only as the percentage of the school's total enrollment that did not report to school on a given day. So it is not specific for influenza-like illness. And it tended to kind of vary and go down from month to month anyway. So what we did, we looked at the absentee rate at participating schools and non-participating schools during the month before the peak of the flu season and during that month. And interestingly, we found that for the participating schools, there was a greater decrease in the absentee rate from the previous month, as I say, in the schools that were targeted for the program. And you'd certainly expect this if things are working the way that we had expected. So school district challenges in winding things up here. Four of the five school districts said that it was a difficult challenge sometimes just to make the parents aware of this vaccine's availability. Three of the five school districts identified the short expiration date. All of us are probably aware that that some of the expiration lots, because they've been held, they were set to expire in December. So some schools said that this was a major challenge. There were no distinct challenges indicated based upon the different implementation models. And basically, all participating schools were very happy about being involved in the project, and they all requested to participate again last year. They had very positive feelings about the project. The students felt that the vaccine, that it was a good thing. And very briefly, what we did, we had a little tool where we asked the flu coordinators, how many of the students, refused the vaccine? How many of them frowned? How many of them turned away? And the scale was none, few, half, or most. And using that scale, it was clear that the students really accepted the vaccine very well. And then the parents, and the majority of parents accepted the vaccine well also, based upon the parent questionnaire. Select components of the campaign's promotional and parent packet distribution method may slightly improve the level of parents' acceptance of this program. There was really so much going on here. We'll talk about this briefly in the limitations. But it appeared that if the informational distribution method involved a lot of things, for example, use of the web as well as flyers and that sort of thing, that you were able to get more acceptance on the part of the parents. The model, as we saw, that had the mobile clinic, the regularly scheduled clinic, offering flu vaccination supplement with traveling nurses, really is the model that in this pilot showed to have the best results in terms of coverage levels received vaccine delivered. Certainly, this study's got limitations. Selection of schools was not random. And initially, we had not planned on the evaluation. Certainly, there could have been bias in questionnaire completion. Parents who intended to vaccinate the children more likely to complete the questionnaire, perhaps. And vaccine methodology, although, you know, school districts are used to sending materials home through students, so that would not expected to vary. I forgot to mention that all schools were required to attend a training where they were trained about the vaccine itself, trained on the forms, told how to use the forms. We developed all of the materials that they could use on the web if they had a web that they could use in their newsletter. We developed all of those. We developed templates for all of the letters. So that's the way that we tried to control this. But certainly, different schools could have varied in their ability to implement the program. Certainly limited. You notice that there's only one model. One district only had one model. One of the other models was used by three different districts, so that certainly is a limitation. And in terms of our next steps, I would just say, to close this up, that for this current flu year, we actually are doing rapid flu testing in intervention schools and control schools to get a better sense of during the impact of the flu season, about the protection of the vaccine. We want to acknowledge all the folks in our program who participated in implementing the program as well as analyzing the data. And at the end, we'd be happy to take your questions. Thank you.